All right, yes. Y'all ready for a new beginning? A little bit. I don't even know what that means, because like technically every beginning is new, but there's just something about taking a deep breath at the beginning of the year, right? The holidays are in our rearview mirror, all the activities and things like that, and saying, whew, we get to reboot, a little reset. 2020, man, it was quite a journey, wasn't it? Quite a journey, which, you know, we're going to talk about this idea of a journey, and as we look back on 2020, it's kind of like, yeah, emotionally, maybe physically, we went places, did things, experiences, and things like that. But what about in a physical way? What is the longest journey you've ever been on, like physically? The furthest places you've been, maybe you've traveled as a person or as a couple. What's the furthest places you've ever taken a journey to? Where does your mind click to? Brooksville, okay, yeah. It's not hard for me to think back to just last March when we were able to go to India on a mission trip to visit Mid-India Christian Mission. Honestly, it feels like 3 years ago, but it was quite a journey. Go ahead and click back to that map. I just want to let you know, look, when this is when we knew we were in, on a real, journey, okay? Like, when you look at the map in front of you on the airplane and you see Greenland, that's far away, all right? Now, I've never done that before. I just like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there? No, we're at the top of the globe, and if we go down right now, we're probably going to freeze and die, and no one's ever going to find us again. But thank God the pilots knew what they were doing, all right? They got us there safely. They had maps. They had all kinds of great tools and instruments and things like that, these maps that could get us to India safely. Now, once we got to India, of course, we had spent, 20 hours on and off planes and things like that. We got to India, and I'm telling you, this journey, planes, trains, and automobiles, all right? Just airplanes. We get on this train. We spend a sleepless night kind of traveling from one place to the next. We don't know where we are. We don't know anybody. We don't know what kind of food we're going to eat. It's kind of crazy. Thankfully, we were met by two guides. We had two friends of ours, Akshay and Joy, they're in the middle there, that showed us around, kept us safe, made sure we had a good time, make sure that we were, just got the most out of our trip. Akshay and Joy made sure that we got on the train and off the train in the right places. We didn't eat anything that was going to kill us. We didn't run into people or neighborhoods that we shouldn't have been into. You know what I'm talking about, right? Guides, really good stuff. And then they helped us meet up with our group. And our group, again, brothers and sisters in Christ who showed us around, kept us safe, just made the experience super one for us, a great thing. That was an amazing journey. 2020 was an amazing journey. Now, I said all that to say this. Life itself is a journey. Would you agree with that? I mean, think about, some of y'all are a little, long in years. Just can you think back just a few, wow, where have you been in your life? If you're younger, you'd be like, hey, man, I remember when I was like six. This is a conversation I have with my grandkids. Oh, man, I remember when I was a little kid. I was like, you're 7 years old. Oh, yeah, but back when I was four, I'm like, oh, yeah. Because we've all been on this journey, right? We've all got these experiences in our life. Life is a journey. It's a journey of adventure. It's a journey of drama. Last year, man, we had celebrations. We had pain. We had just raw emotion, uncertainty, wondering what's going to happen next, whether we should answer the phone or not, whether we should check our email. But we still had, weddings. We had baptisms. We had, just people that were celebrating life all along the way. That's life. That's the journey that we're on. And it's a pretty incredible thing. So I have to ask you this question as we begin 2021. What will this upcoming year, what will the journey of 2021 look like for you? Any idea? Well, you thought you knew last year, didn't you? Yeah, I remember standing here a year ago going, oh yeah, 2020. Well, but think about it, though. At the end of this year, 12 months from now, what kind of dreams do you have? What kind of ideas? What kind of things do you think might happen along our journey in the next few months? What would 2021 look like for you? Because as we begin this year as a church, we begin something very special on our journey, this thing called life. And like India, the trip that we took, a trip like many of you have taken, we need a map, we need a guide, and we need a group to do it with. A map, a guide, and a group. And praise God, he has given us all of these things. He's given us what we need for the journey of life. Now, unfortunately, many of us and many people that we know ignore or neglect or say no thank you to the map, to the guide, to the group, and find themselves lost or flailing or wondering where to go next. In fact, even Christians, Christ followers that I know, last year in the course of the year became unhinged. I mean, just freaking out. What's going on? What's going to happen next? I mean, think about it. We didn't land in India a year ago. We landed in normal places, the place we're used to living, but yet we were lost in the land of a pandemic, of politics and, you know, and social media back and forth, and thinking about the current events going around us is just storms swirling and things happening all the time. So when you think about the journey and think about what God has given us in this map, this guide, this group, I am absolutely convinced that now is the time, as we turn the page on last year, to say we need a change. We need an anchor. We need something that we can hold on to, something that we can live and grow to make this journey something just exactly what God wanted to be. We need God's power. We need God's guidance in our lives. We need revival. We need to wake up and hold tight to hope, the hope we've been talking about for the last few weeks. We need to be people of hope. And to do that, we need to be people of God, who are people of God's word, people who live in the word of God. So in 2021, I'm excited to tell you this, but as a church, as leadership, hopefully you're on board and we'll seize this opportunity, because we are committed to learning and living God's word like never before. And we love God's word around here. We want to take it next level. I mean, the Bible, we believe this is our source for spiritual strength. It's our source for power and wisdom and eternal rewards. It gives life change. We'll talk about that in a minute. But by learning and living God's word, we can be a people of hope. God will make us that people of hope. And we'll be able to bring the hope of Jesus to all people. So, man, I'm going to talk about God's word today. And If I get off the road, somebody can just say, hey, look, man, you need to slow down. It's dinner time, because I love to talk about God's word today. So buckle up, all right? Just kind of hang in there with me, and I promise we're just going to see some really cool things. Now, over the past few weeks, how many of you have heard of Core 52? All right, raise your hand. If you're online, you know, you're watching online, you've heard of Core 52. Okay, we are excited about what God is going to do through this tool to help us to grow deeper, to go faster and further in God's word together. And not just knowing God's word, like Bill said earlier, but living God's word together. So today we begin something special. The series is called Beginnings, this first opening series. And we're going to begin by looking at the map and by the guide and the group that's going to make this year, 2021, the journey of a lifetime for all of us. Now, this whole idea of beginnings, we've got to start with the most important thing, and that is Jesus. And I know you expect me to say that. I mean, you're sitting in a Christian church, you know I'm going to talk about Jesus. But the beginning of the journey is Jesus. In fact, life begins and life lasts and life must have Jesus Christ as its center. You see, he is God and we are not. In fact, the Bible isn't God either. See, we don't worship the Bible. We worship Jesus. The message of the Bible is Jesus. The Old Testament points to Jesus. We've been talking about that in the last few weeks. The New Testament is all about him. It begins and it ends with Jesus. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And that word there is talking about the Logos. It's talking about the eternal Word, Jesus himself, who became flesh and dwelt among us. Life, the journey begins and ends, and what matters most is Jesus. In fact, Revelation 19 tells us that he is coming back again. His robe's going to be dipped in blood, and it will say on there his name, and his name will be the Word of God. Jesus, he came from heaven to earth. I feel like I say this every week. It's the most important thing you can ever know in your life is that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, God in the flesh, to live a perfect life before our eyes, to do miracles, to teach, to live and then to die a perfect death as a sacrifice for our sins, yours and mine, so that we can go to heaven one day. He did it on the cross, and then after 3 days, Jesus Christ rose from the grave to prove that he was God. And now he sits at the right hand of God forever and ever and ever. He is alive. And Jesus, God's Son, in the flesh, endorsed God's word himself. In fact, the Old Testament, Jesus points to God's word. He memorized it. He lived it. He used it as illustration. He, over and over and over again, as he was discipling people, he talked about God's word, the Old Testament. He lived it perfectly. Jesus himself endorsed his own words. In your Bibles, they might be written in red. His own words as the words of God. Jesus endorsed the rest of the New Testament, the men that he discipled and the men, the apostles, the men that were given the Holy Spirit of God to write the inspired scriptures that we hold in our hands, endorsed by Jesus himself. So, when God in the flesh, who rose from the grave, says the book that you're holding in your hand, the book that you're reading, the book that is God's word, you can take that to the bank. Jesus. Matthew 4, Jesus is being tempted by the devil. Again, he had it in his mind. He had the word of God memorized. He says, man should not live by bread alone, but by the very words of God, the Bible. See that? John 17, this is a prayer of Jesus, says, make them holy, us, God's people. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. And then God answers the prayer of his holy son with the holy scriptures. The Bible. Now, I mentioned earlier, we're on this journey called life. We need a map. Can anybody guess what that map is? Yeah, the map for life is the Bible. Now, I brought with me a map that we have on our wall in the office. It's currently not in the office right now. This is a map of Hernando County. All right, pretty impressive, right? A little bit of citrus there, a little bit of everything else. All right. Now, it's funny because Hernando County... I love this map, by the way. We pray about this thing all the time, pray over it. But it's interesting because after 15 years of living in Spring Hill, I still can't get around this place without a map or a GPS. I have no idea what men were thinking when they designed this place. It's like they threw a bowl of spaghetti on a piece of paper and went, hey, look, roads. You know, it's like I literally, like I'm on the, just last week, I'm in the southeast side of town and I'm in a neighborhood and I'm lost. I've lived here 15 years. Anybody else? I don't know. Am I the only one? I feel like such a dweeb. All right, so seriously, I got to turn on my GPS. I got to look at a map to get out of Spring Hill, but it gives me directions. This map right here, there's roads, there's landmarks, there's places. If you want to get from one side to the other, it will help you understand how to get there. That's what it's for. That's what a map does. It gives us directions. It gives us clarity. And this map is a little bit old, but it is still pretty reliable. And thank God my GPS is also reliable, or I probably wouldn't be here this morning. All right, I'd still be floating around on Landover or Linden or whatever, Coronado 1, 2, 3, or 4, Drive, Avenue, Place, Court, I don't know. But thanks. So if you're here, and some people are still watching online, I'm convinced, partly because maybe they're unhealthy or because they don't want to come to church because of COVID, and some of them just don't know how to get out of their neighborhoods anymore. It's like they've been, you know, kind of locked down that long. This map, man, this map, this the thing that God has given us for directions to help us get from one place to the other successfully, to help us learn our lives together. The Bible, God's word. We're talking about the most important, best-selling, most read book in the history of mankind. Now you can push it aside, or you can take a deeper look at it. Is the Bible a reliable map? Can we count on it? Is it really good for direction in life? Well, I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to see what God says about this book, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. If you would, go ahead and let's read this together, all right? It says this, all scripture is God-breathed. Let's read it together. And useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The living, breathing breath of God, the Bible. God is saying right here in this verse and others just like it, yes, this is a reliable map. It's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that you and I can be servants equipped for every good work to get from one side to the other, to make life all that it was meant to be. God's word Is it a reliable map? Well, God says so, but can we believe it? Can we believe it? Well, to kind of establish this, and this is one of my favorite things to talk about, and I use this, it's apologetics, it's evidences, but I just kind of want to go over some reasons that we can believe the Bible is a reliable map, okay? And I want to use the acrostic, which if you've been here before, months ago, I've talked about this before. Guess what the acrostic is? Maps, all right? So we're going to talk about the evidences, the maps of why we can know the Bible is true. We're going to talk about the manuscript evidence, archaeology, prophecy, science, and the stories around it, okay? Is this a reliable roadmap for life? Well, first of all, the letter M, manuscripts. Manuscripts. Now, as you may know, we don't have the original documents written by the authors of the New Testament, the biblical authors. What we do have are copies of those autographs, okay? They're called manuscripts. They were made very close to the time of the original authors and the events. And we can trust that those copies, that those manuscripts are legitimate. Old Testament copies, the beginning of your Bible, the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, those copies date back to 200 BC when the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, when they were written, 200 BC, 800 ancient scrolls that were discovered in 11 different caves near the Dead Sea, and they contain fragments from every book of the Old Testament except for Esther. And scholars have examined those fragments and found them to be virtually identical with the standard Hebrew Scriptures that you hold in your hand today, from 200 BC to today. That's just one example. In the New Testament, there's a chart up there. I'm not going to get into this, but there are copies of the New Testament dating back to 100 AD. That's just 60 years after the life of Jesus. They've been considered special and sacred, and they've been copied with care and precision through the years, and they've never been changed or altered. It's not like a telephone game thing. The same scriptures from 100 AD until now. Now, to put this into perspective, the Declaration of Independence, okay, was written in 1776, 244 years ago, unless you count today, all right, then you can round up, all right, but Declaration of Independence, 244 years ago, and no one doubts the authorship or the contents of the Declaration of Independence. Why? Because allegedly we have the original. Have you ever seen the original? Do you know it's the original? Are you 100% sure it's the original? Well, we can be relatively sure it's the original, but if we did lose the original, that we would still have plenty of reliable copies of the Declaration of Independence to depend on. In fact, if someone miswrote or tried to pass on a bogus copy of the Declaration of Independence today, people would know it. Even 244 years later, you would know you're looking at the wrong document. Is that going to change in 200 years from now? Is it going to change 2,000 years from now? If you still doubt that this is the Declaration of Independence, you can ask Richard Weeks. He'll be glad to tell you he was there when it was written. It wasn't. You think about it. New Testament copies just a few years after Jesus lived. We've got 5,300 ancient manuscripts of the New Testament in existence. They've been found in Palestine, Syria, and Egypt, and their content is virtually identical no matter where they were found. These ancient copies, they've been widely studied, and they verify that the books in the New Testament that we now have are 99% accurate. Compare the two. In other words, they've not been changed through the years. Now, the really cool thing is, and this is something that I had a hard time believing when I first became a Christian, was that you can figure, like, there's museums and archives, and you can find the evidence to back all of this up. And I hope that you will. If you do, you'll find out that the New Testament manuscripts, what we read today, are the most reliable ancient manuscripts of any kind in the entire world, and they overwhelming manuscript evidence that the Bible is a reliable map for our lives. It's exactly what God wanted us to have, to live, the manuscripts. A, archaeology. We talk about archaeology, and again, I'm going to go pretty quick, but scholars from Smithsonian Department of Anthropology to award-winning secular and Christian journalists and scientists agree that the Bible is confirmed by archaeology. We've got over 25,000 sites or digs that have confirmed the Bible text. For example, just a couple, the Bible has led archaeologists to the 2,300-year-old evidence of Canaan, the Eble archive, the discovery of the Hittites, talks about all kinds of other specific prophets, kings, and nations, the Old Testament. Thousands of New Testament artifacts match the Bible to real people, places, events, and cultural history, and discoveries are still being found. I watched a show last night before bed, 2019. New stuff is still being uncovered on an annual basis. Archaeology has and continues to confirm the Bible as God's truth, his reliable roadmap for our lives. P, prophecy. Talked about prophecy a little bit over the last couple weeks. This is the predictive ability of the Bible, and it shows that its reliability as a roadmap for our lives. When we talk about prophecy, well, the Bible records predictions, events that couldn't be known or predicted by chance. Call them prophecies. They're not calculated guesses. The Bible, we've had over 2,000 biblical prophecies that have already been fulfilled with no prophetic failures. It's a lot. Not 2,000 now. If you just took 16, the chance of 16 of those prophetic, of those prophecies being fulfilled, the chances of that happening would be 1 in 10 to the 45th power. Now, if you want to take a moment, write 1 in 10 and 45 zeros behind it. All right, I'll just wait here on stage while you do that. All right, that's a lot of zeros. And we're talking about an inconceivable probability that 16 of those prophecies, not 2,000, would be fulfilled. We talked about the birth of hope. We talked about the messianic prophecies, over 300 of these prophecies dating back to 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus were fulfilled in Jesus. 300 prophecies. Now, mathematicians have calculated the odds of Jesus fulfilling just 8 of those, not 300, just 8 of those to be one. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's 1 in 10 with 17 zeros behind it. Again, you want to take that time, write them down, 17 zeros. That's crazy. Now, I love this illustration. I've used it before. Some of y'all use it with me after I talked about last week, is that the probability of 8 of these prophecies about Jesus coming true would be the same as covering the state of Texas, okay, in silver dollars, 2 feet deep, marking one silver dollar, dropping it in the middle of the pile. I don't even know if you call that a pile. You're talking about thousands of miles of 2 feet deep silver dollars. Marked a silver dollar, dropped it in the middle, mixed them all up, and then found that one silver dollar on the very first try, blindfolded. 8 prophecies about the Messiah. That's the kind of biblical prophecy will continue to show us that the Bible is God's reliable roadmap for our life, especially the prophecies about Jesus as the Son of God. Evidence, manuscripts, archaeology, prophecies, and S, science. Science. Now, the Bible's not a science book. Probably don't need to tell you that. What the Bible is scientifically accurate, okay? No scientific evidence has been found to contradict the Bible. But we have to remember, we talk about this, that there's scientific law and there's scientific theory. Scientific laws are proven over time through process and results. We get scientific laws like the law of gravity. Scientific theories are opinions based on those laws, but they're still theories. Okay, for example, my favorite one is the biblical theory of creation. Creation does not contradict science. It's based on scientific law. It's called creation science. The same is true for the secular theory of evolution, evolutionary science. Theories. They're both theories, opinions. So as such, we have to study the evidence, study the science of each theory, creation and evolution, study them equally, and then decide which one makes the most sense based on the scientific evidence. And I would propose to you that creation science wins at the end of the day. Now, scientific evidence found in Scripture is consistent with known scientific facts. In some cases, we have scientific evidence in the Bible that was accurately written hundreds of years, even thousands of years before scientists figured out some of these things. For example, the Bible says that the universe had a beginning, origins. Scientists have come to this. That's absolutely true. It came from, we came from somewhere. The Bible talks about astronomy. You guys like stars at night. 300 years before Aristotle, the Bible states that the stars follow a predictable pattern, that the stars are unique to each other. And way before Columbus, in spite of what you might have read on the internet this week, the Bible puts out, way before Columbus, that the earth was round and not flat. Sorry to bust your bubble there if you thought it was flat, all right? The Bible talks about geology, talks about biology, paleontology. If you're into dinosaurs, you know dinosaurs are mentioned in the Bible, meteorology, physics, all throughout the scriptures. Now, none of this means that the Bible is a natural science book. It's not. The Bible is a supernatural book with science in it. The Bible talks about the story of human beings' relationship with an all-powerful God. Therefore, this book has many things that science can't explain. All kinds of things. You can't explain it with science. We call these things miracles. The supernatural. You see, the God of the Bible has the ability to do the natural and the supernatural. God made science, and he has the ability to work outside of the laws of science however he chooses to, and he does. But where science is used, it confirms that the Bible is true and reliable time and time and time again. Science. And that last S is my favorite. It's the stories. The stories, the changed lives. You see, the Bible's got its own story. The story of the Bible's survival through the ages are amazing. All through history, there's been attempts to disprove, there's been attempts to destroy and do away with the Bible, and no one has succeeded. Ever. But the greatest stories that we have aren't even the stories of the Bible itself, but the stories of the lives of God's people that have been changed through the power of the scriptures, through the Holy Spirit's work in their lives. Stories that he is still writing today. As I look around this room, I know it's true. Even especially over the last year, the Bible is still changing lives through the power of the Holy Spirit today because you live it and you learn it and you figure it out. It's like, why am I so different today than I was yesterday or last year or the year before? And you look back and you say, oh, because this book is reliable. It changes lives. In fact, I'm just going to ask you, I've done this before, but if you would say, look, I know the Bible still changes lives because it's helped change my life. Like utterly made me a different person just by following what God has told me to do in this book. If you've been utterly changed by God's word today, would you just raise your hand? Would you just raise your hand? I'd ask you to stand, but I know some people don't want, you know, look around the room, y'all. Look around the room. Look, God's word is still changing lives today. In fact, if you're sitting next to somebody who raised their hand, I would just invite you after the service today to ask, hey, look, you raised your hand. How's your life been changed as a result of God's word? I challenge you to do that. After thousands of years, we look at the stories and we see that it's still true today. The Bible's reliable. As a map, it gives us direction, again, from one to the other. God has just given us the perfect way to live and direct our lives. That's why he could write in Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Anybody agree with that? Man, think about it. I mean, you're following the scriptures, you got a light to your feet. You stop following the scriptures and all of a sudden all bets are off. It's like, how did I get here from there? Well, God's perfect direction. It leads us through life choices, relationships, how to behave, how to treat others, how to handle money, how to grow spiritually. You live God's word and you can't go wrong. Get out from under God's word and his authority, taking your chances. It's because the Bible is a map. It's a map to wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. God's word. Last week, we talked about how God's word gives us direction, not only in this life, but God gives us direction for eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 1, you have been born again through the living and enduring word of God. This amazing book. I mean, we're talking about 40 authors who have written in this thing over 1,600 years on three different continents, three different languages, 39 Old Testament books, 27 New Testament books, 66 books in all, full of history and poetry and science and literature and wisdom and every single part of it. One consistent, unified, timeless, errorless message, and that is the history-changing story of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who came from heaven to earth to save mankind from their sin and to offer us eternal life, living, breathing Word of God, our map for life. Absolutely perfect. If you need a Bible today, if maybe you came without one, you want a paper copy, we give these out. You can take one home with you today. You can pull one up on your phone. Maybe somebody around you can help you bring that up to start reading it and digesting it. If you want a harder copy than this one, underneath your seats or the seats in front of you, you can reach down there and grab one of those books. Go ahead and take them home, all right? Hopefully I won't get in trouble for that. But there's Bibles under the seats. You can take those with you as you go today. Our map. What about our guide? Again, I gotta move quick, but our guide for the journey is the Holy Spirit. God himself. God guides us through life using his map in a remarkable way. See, God promises through his word that he lives inside of his people who follow Jesus. Remember, again, going back, this is all about Jesus, all right? That's what the Holy Spirit has done. He comes and lives in us so that we can follow his son, be more like his son. Again, it's a whole nother sermon to talk about the Holy Spirit, but if we go back to Acts chapter 2, for example, again, in a lot of places in the scriptures, but Acts chapter 2, 38, where Peter preaches a sermon and people come to Christ, he tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, all right, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness of your sins, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He comes to live. That's a promise from God. See, God himself comes to live in us, to lead us, to guide us, to comfort us, to convict us. The promise is God is with us as a guide to help us to learn and live his word. That's exactly what he does. See, the Holy Spirit makes God's word come alive. And I just want to beg you this morning that as you're reading the scriptures, to allow God's Spirit to move in your heart and in your mind. If he says to do something, do it. Give God permission to change the way you live, and he will change the way you live. It's our guide. John 16:13, Jesus himself says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. It's his job, it's what he does. And he does it through his living word. Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul writes about the armor of God, and the Lord says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? The word of God. The Holy Spirit uses God's word. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God. It is living, it is active, it is sharper than any double-edged sword. I should have brought a sword to me today too. A sword, it penetrates even to the dividing soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Now, I love that idea of the sword. This is what the Holy Spirit uses to get inside and to change us from the inside out. So again, I just want to look, if it says the Bible judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, when God judges your thoughts and your attitudes and your actions, please allow him to win. He wields the word of God to lead us, to fight for us, to change us, to transform our hearts and our minds, like Romans 12 says, and our actions to be more like his son, Jesus, God's word. It's what we stand on. It's what we believe in. It's what we defend ourselves with, sword of the Spirit. So with all due respect to the fancy bumper stickers and slogans that we see on Facebook and the opinions that we like to throw out there, what does the Bible say? A map and a guide, the power of the Holy Spirit, and a group. God gives us a group to go on the journey of life with. Now, I'm so thankful, again, as I think back to India, it wasn't just Akshay and Joy. When we got there, we were met by a group of people, brothers and sisters in Christ. One of them, Ahmet John, was our driver. We also had a a guard with us most of the time we were there, which was pretty reassuring. But Ahmet John was a driver of our car, and we just, these journeys we were taking were kind of crazy. And I want to tell you, I don't know what made him think it was okay to play chicken with cows and motorcycles and big semi-trucks, but I am thankful that we made it through alive. And not only that, but we had people that would meet us and just take us from place. It was just great. We had a group of people that made the journey enjoyable and safe and exciting and worthwhile. This group. Well, God gives us a group too. It's his people, his church. It's your small group. It's your family. God's people, the church, this community. A great snapshot of this group is in Acts chapter 2. After Jesus has ascended back to heaven, the Holy Spirit kind of kicks things off. Peter preaches, 3,000 people are baptized, and the church is born in the New Testament. And we see the church started. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 47, it's just, again, a great picture of what God's people look like. Look at what it says. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They're people of the word. See that? And fellowship, and all the believers were together. They had everything in common. See, they were together. Every day, it says further down, they continued to meet together. They continued just to meet together. God's people, this group, in the temple courts. They met in large groups to hear God's word. And then they broke bread in their homes, in the smaller groups, and in their homes and neighborhoods together. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. People of God in the word of God, meeting together. You see that? Learning together, loving together, serving together, people of Jesus, guided by his Spirit, living the word of God together. And 2,000 years later, you and I, us today as a family of God, are still here doing it. Jesus and his people living by the same map, the same guide, the same group. So if you're waiting at home maybe to come back and worship with us publicly, I understand that's great, especially if you're not healthy, don't come. If you're vulnerable, but look, come on back if you can. We need to be together. We need to be in fellowship together, studying together. If you're not in a small group yet, this is the time right now, beginning of the year, get into a small group, into a community of men, of women, of couples that will help you grow in God's word together. We meet in the temple courts. Let's meet in each other's homes as well. And experience this journey together. Experience it together. The goal is for each of us as we begin this year, again, one at a time, each person, you and I, mentioned this last week, is to get into God's word. Here it is. Get into the word. And get the word into you. And get the word out of you and into the world. Get into the word. Get the word into you, and then get the word out and into those that you love around you. So we can say like the psalmist, Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart. See, get it into us so that I might not sin against God. We don't want to sin. We've been forgiven of our sins. God's word helps us do that. Or like Joshua says, keep this book of the law always, always on your lips. Meditate on it. Think about it day and night so that you'll be careful to do everything written in it. So we hear it, do it, hear it, do it, hear it, do it, and then you'll be prosperous and successful. Colossians chapter 3, God says through Paul to let the message of Christ dwell among you, live among you, let it come alive among you as you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. In Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the one whose delight, this isn't a chore that we have to do, this is delightful, delight in the law of the Lord. He who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree. Catch this, a tree planted by streams of water. Firmly rooted, see, their streams of water yielding fruit in season, whose leaves do not wither, whatever they do prospers, y'all. We put our feet in the word of God and we stand on the foundations of the word of Jesus. And we're not going to go everywhere when the wind blows. In fact, Jesus adds to this idea in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. Listen to the words of our Lord. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. See, Jesus says, we hear the word, we do it. Hear the word, practice. Hear the word, practice it. Hear the word, practice it. Whoever hears the words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds, we just build his house on the rock. Firm foundation. And you don't have to think very far back in the past. 2020, think about when the rains came down and the streams rose, the winds blow and beat against that house, it does not fall because it has its foundation on the rock. Y'all, it has been a year of storms and streams rising and winds blowing against the house. I got to ask you this morning, are you standing on the rock of Jesus and his word? You're a wise person. But Jesus goes on, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. You hear them? Not today. Yeah, nope, not me. Hear these words of mine and does not put them into practice. It's like a foolish man builds his house on the sand. Rain comes down, streams rise, the winds blow, beat against that house, and it falls with a crash. I wish I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. But I've seen lives of people who I love and adore with all my heart. I've seen their lives crash before their very eyes because they've decided not to stand on the word of God and his truth and not to trust Jesus, to do their own thing, go their own way. And this last year has been a trial. We know that. 2021 could be full of amazing things if we do what God says to do. You see, in this time of storms, our foundation is Jesus and his word. Hearing the word, putting it into practice. Hearing the word, putting it into practice. Hearing the word, putting it into practice. The map, the guide, the group, they're there for us. And I believe if we will live according to the map, to God's word, by the power and the strength of his guide, the Holy Spirit, in groups, this group particularly, I love you with all my heart. If we will do this, that we will be in for a 2021 like we have never seen before. And God will change your life and this church, the community around us, maybe even the rest of the world. I hope you'll take that opportunity. I hope you'll take the opportunity to come along with us as we line up with God and walk the talk. That's why I'm so excited about Core 52 and what we're doing with this material. It's not just a program that we're doing. This is a tool that's going to help us, again, go further and faster in God's word together. It's going to get us into the word and help the word get into us and help us get the word out to other people. Mark Moore is the author of the book, and Mark's, I respect him very much. He's influenced a number of our staff members, I mean, some of you in the church through his teaching. He's taught at Ozark. Some of you have gone on youth trips and seen Mark speak. Now he's a pastor out in Arizona at a small church of about 35,000 people. He's just got a really good way of making God's word practical. And in 15 minutes a day, this is a good tool for us, and we're going to be able to use this as we go through this first series, Beginnings, and we're going to break it down in the sermon series all along the way. I would like you to just kind of take a minute to watch this video and meet Mark Moore real quick before we close up today with a brief overview of Core 52. Watch this.
Core 52, and I want to tell you how this whole thing got started. We know that knowing God's word is the most powerful discipline for growing spiritually. But it's a big book, and there's lots of details. It's easy to get lost along the way. So we've identified the 52 verses that are most valuable for taking you further, faster, so that you can achieve your bucket list item of moving from curiosity to confidence in God's word. Welcome to the journey. Hey, Mark Moore here. I'm the author of Core 52. And I want to address a specific question that has come up a number of times on the website. The question is this: why would I study another book and not just read the Bible? It's a fair question. The Bible's God's word. In fact, the whole purpose of Core 52 is to get you into the Bible, not to replace the Bible. But in answer to the question, we read other books for the same reason we might listen to a sermon at church. Because God has gifted certain men and women in the church to be teachers, to clarify and amplify and apply scriptures in a practical way. That's really all I'm trying to do, is identify those passages with the highest return on investment that will allow you to go further faster. Or maybe you think of it this way. When you travel to a foreign country, it's good to have a guide. Now, you could explore on your own for sure, but you will see more and observe more and understand more with a guide who has gone there before. So I hope that I can be that guide for you and save you a little bit of time, save you a little bit of energy, maybe allow you to see more than you would have before. After all, God's word is the inspired word of God, and it's profitable for teaching, reproof, for correcting and training in righteousness. And if I can get you further faster, man, what a great joy that would be for me. Thanks for being a part of this, and thanks for taking seriously your opportunity to get into God's word so that God's word can come out of you. God bless.
I hope you'll take this opportunity. There's a few things you can do very quickly, even today. First of all, if you're on Facebook, not everyone is, but if you're on Facebook, you can join the Core 52 community that we have. It's called Core 52 Connection. Josh has just loaded that website up, our Facebook site, with materials for you. It's called Core 52 Connection. All right, CCW Core 52 Connection. There's videos to help you memorize verses, to help you stay up to date with the readings, the videos. Join that group. That'll help you out. You can also join a small group. I hope you'll do that today, a Core 52 group. Even before you leave today, go to the Next Step station, sign up with Josh. Go online right there at the top. Core 52 groups are called core groups. You can join those. We're excited about those as well. You can buy a book before you leave today if you haven't done that yet. This is for your personal study. All right, just you, your family, to read these 15 minutes a day. You watch the videos, it'll help you grow, and then you can get together and talk about them in your groups. We'll be talking about them on Sunday mornings as well. Again, tons of resources, opportunities, trying to eliminate any excuses from being in God's Word this year, from growing like we never have before. Monday through Friday, reading the words, memorizing the verses on Tuesday. Say, I can memorize the Bible. Yeah, you can, you will, watch. It's going to be amazing, and get the word into us to read these Bible stories that go along with the themes, to meditate on three core verses. Again, 15 minutes a day. That's all we're asking. On Wednesdays, you might come back for the story of the Bible on Wednesday night. It's going to be a great study. You want to do that too. And then by Friday, doing an action step. Again, hearing the words, putting it into practice. Hear the word, putting it into practice. And on Friday, it's going to be a great opportunity for you to do that. So let's go ahead and stand and we'll have a word of prayer. I know I kept you a little long today, but I really think this could be a pivotal moment for us as God's people as we go on this journey of life together. Lord willing, and we live, as James says, to do his will, we'll make it out of this building today and we'll make it home tonight and we'll live and we'll wake up tomorrow and we'll be the people that he called us to be. If some reason you haven't made that decision to become a Christ follower, you can do that today, once and for all and forever, to be baptized into him, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to walk as a child of God with him, with the Holy Spirit in you as part of the family. And we'd invite you to do that as well. Our prayer team will be up here to talk with you. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for your word. It comes alive through the power of your Spirit. It is no ordinary thing. Pray that it wouldn't just be a book on our shelf, our nightstand, but God, it would literally be something that we pick up in the morning and we allow to guide our day as we follow the maps and the directions and the instructions within it. And I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will guide us to do things we could never and would never want to do on our own. God, I pray you would change us from the inside out and make us more like Jesus, our Lord and our King, who died for our sins so we could go to heaven and be with you, so we could live this day and the rest of our days in a way like no other. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this group. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for letting us be together this morning. Thank you for allowing us to live for you each day this week. We give you the praise, give you the honor. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen. Mm.